and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Byline Studios here in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Yeah, the guy was correct in that lofty introduction as my name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 35, make that 36 plus years now. In the making, often imitated but never duplicated. We're talking boxing and MMA for the for the next hour, and I'm laughing because Joe Joyce is a heavyweight contender allegedly out of England. And I am a senior citizen. I'm thinking about coming back to fight Joe Joyce. That's how sloppy he was last week. In fact, of all the heavyweights I've had to talk about in the last 20 years, he's probably the sorriest. I kid you not. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Paulie Malignaggi having his issues with his broadcasting career. We'll talk with the PhD of boxing, Socrates Palmer. He'll weigh in on that. Of course, we've got Errol Spence and Danny Garcia going to do it on pay-per-view. Good luck on that one. Leo Santa Cruz, of course, going to tank on Tank Davis. Big fight for big fight for both guys. But Leo Santa Cruz, I said to myself, why would he fight Tank Davis at 135 pounds? And he didn't. He's going to make Tank Davis come back to 130 pounds. So that, I guess, makes it a fight, the fight to the weight. We'll see how interested Gervonta Davis is in getting in shape for that one, because 130 pounds is going to be a lot. He's been getting to 35. Now he's got to get to 30. Big difference. Like cutting off an arm. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, open phone lines around the planet. Real quick, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the studio text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. We are live on Twitch.tv. I'll show some Ali fights through the broadcast straight up. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If you didn't know it, shame on you.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If you give me enough money, I'll fight my own mother.
Interesting voice to come back there with, of course, Paul Malignaggi, one-time U.S. Golden Glove champion out of Brooklyn, New York, a hot amateur, had great hands, I mean fast hands, but brittle hands. Of course, they didn't produce too many knockouts as a professional, but he went about as far as you can go as far as a guy that couldn't punch is concerned. Straight up, he's been great behind the mic, but he's taken some heat, so to figure out where this is going, I take it to the East Coast, of course, talking about the Bronx and the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Sock, is Paulie in trouble? What's going on?
Hey, Pedro, how's it going? Paulie, unfortunately became a victim of the environment in which we live in right now at the moment. Sometimes it's best to keep personal feelings just that, personal. Now, from what Showtime is using as their example of what they're saying, that it was an interview that he did on the podcast, according to the transcripts, he didn't say anything out of the ordinary, you know. And I understand that these companies are run by lawyers, these big corporations, Viacom, and they, whenever they even smell anything that could be controversial, they remove themselves from it. And maybe they want to be consistent.
I hate to cut you off here, but I want to go straight. What actually did he say? What were the words that got him in trouble?
That's what I want to know, because apparently it started off with he was parrying off a quote that was attributed to Devin Haney, in which he said he would never let and that he would never lose to a white boy.
Right.
And, you know, that actually has been echoed many a times in many gyms throughout the United States, I'm sure. And before him, Bernard Hopkins said that about Joe Calzaghe, and Joe Calzaghe smacked him up. you know, so you got to watch who you say it about, you know. And, you know, Paulie said that I'm sure he wasn't talking about Lomachenko. Haney had been at the time mentioned in a fight against Luke Campbell. And, you know, youth sometimes produces the offspring of ignorance. And Devin Haney said that. Paulie said that boxing throughout the eras, certain races have dominated. Back in the beginning of the 19th century, it was you had Irish and Jews, and then the Italians, and then in the 60s, 70s, you started seeing the emergence of the black athlete. And Paulie said that the black athlete in boxing is not the alpha male anymore, that it's more the Eastern European. And you know what? That's all subjective. But you can also say, hey, he's damn right. You know, right now, some of the top dogs are from the former Soviet Union, Lomachenko and Golovkin and Usyk, those guys. Right. And, you know, the longest reigning champion that we've had for a long time. So, you know, objectively speaking, I see where he's going. You know, now, Showtime, they're trying to say it was that. Personally, I know Paulie for a long time. You know, Paulie has, me and him, we've always been friends. I know him since the amateurs. And Paulie, the only thing faster than his hands is his mouth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, he probably says things off the cuff. I know that he tends to side with the current president on certain issues. Now, they can't just flat out can him for his political views, but social media is that glass window in which we live in, and if you post something up, someone will see it, you know. And I know he's had a podcast himself in the past, and everyone's monitoring everything.
Well, if you know? now time out. Now that you've told me he's a Kobe Covington of boxing, I don't feel sorry for him at all. Hey, Paulie. Hey, bro. The unemployment line's a long one right now. Straight up, no, I hate to throw.
But here's the thing. Let me play devil's advocate. He didn't say anything on the Showtime airwaves, you know. And just because you know you side a political party or you have your views, you know, where is that against the Constitution?
You know what? You know, when you've got a guy that's out there telling you, I just heard it on the news, that the suburbs are going to burn down, that black people and brown people are going to move to the suburbs. That's what the president just said on the news here. And the producer's kicking back in the chair going, oh, no, here he goes. But the bottom line is the president just said that on the news 5 minutes ago, that the Biden's going to turn the suburbs into all these black communities and these brown communities. These white people are going to have nowhere to go. I mean, you know what? If he wants to side with that, if Paulie wants to side with that, you know, let Paulie be unemployed. Sorry.
I mean, you know, it's, what can I say?
No, but
what about the precedents that it's setting, though, you know, in general, that, you know, you just got to watch your P's and Q's. You got to follow certain lines. Now, Viacom, maybe they just want to be consistent because they just canned Nick Cannon a couple of weeks ago for saying some pro-NOI, Nation of Islam stuff, and going against a certain community that that is, hey, untouchable, you know, the ones that, you know, they use Saturday as a Sabbath day.
No. I call it the Arsenio Hall rule. When Arsenio Hall crossed that line, they had Farrakhan on the show. He was like off the air like a month later. Anyway, we'll switch gears just for a second. One of my heroes, and he's my hero now. He never really was a hero of mine when he was boxing because I saw him get punked out by Michael Nunn. Did I ever tell you the Michael Nunn, Mike Tyson story?
Talk to me, brother.
All right. So check this out. We're in the jacuzzi at the Olympic training camp in 1984. God, I'm dating myself. So we're in the jacuzzi, and the jacuzzi is like built like, it's built like, it's like a swimming pool. It's like a big, long teardrop. It's like teardrop shape, but it's like bigger than two rooms. It's like you got to get up and walk 15 or 20 feet to the other side, things like that. So it's like a swimming pool, but it's a jacuzzi, the hot tub. So everybody's sitting in the jacuzzi. Purnell's there. Mike's there. Michael Nunn was there. A couple other guys were, you know, a couple nondescript guys were there. And I was there, and I'm saying to myself, man, you know, I'm looking around saying, well, you know what? I'm the only brown guy here besides Virgil Hill. I mean, everybody else is black. It's just me. So I'm saying, oh, okay, I can roll with this. So these guys are going back and forth. They're talking smack. And Mike Tyson said something like, you know, they were capping on each other, like, you're this, you're that. And then Mike Tyson said something like, I knew your mama when she was hoeing. And he said that to Michael Nunn. And Michael Nunn got up in the pool. The pool's about 3 foot as far as the water was concerned. He got up in the pool. He stood across. He went, walked across the pool and said, mother ducker, get your out right now. Let's go. Blah, 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 oh. blah. So Mike didn't move. Mike froze. So when Mike froze on Michael Nunn, I said to myself, you know, maybe he ain't the bravest guy in the world. And as it turns out, when he sort of did get his comeuppance against Buster Douglas, you know, although he was brave in some of those fights afterwards, he was nothing but a bully.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously I wasn't there, but I think Mike was probably shocked that he came up. I mean, but Mike is a Brooklyn dude, and guys from Brooklyn tend to, you know, say stuff kind of grimy.
Okay, and this is what I'm leading up to, because I love him for this, okay? Because I had to smack somebody a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I'll get into that a little bit later. Social media, quote Mike Tyson, social media made y'all too comfortable with disrespecting people and not getting punched in the face for it. God, that's the truth.
There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. Yes.
I mean, that is the absolute truth, man. It doesn't get much realer than that. And because I'll be honest. I was in a restaurant a couple weeks ago and I asked this guy, I said, you know, your daughter probably doesn't have a mask on. It'd probably be safer if she had a mask on. Anyway, he came at me three times. The last time he came at me, he went to sleep almost. May he rest on the floor of that restaurant. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. One time, son, it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. We were going out to meet some news media after a fight one time, and I said to myself, man, that sounds like a great line, right? Well, she stole that from Muhammad Ali. My mother was a plagiarist. I kid you not. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Sock, she was. I mean, I thought that was her original line. I kid you not. And as I find out later, I mean, I didn't find out till the internet days that it was Ali's line. She stole it from him.
That's pretty cool. I've heard it a few times. Joe Namath kind of said something about similar to that. It's not bragging if you're good, you know, so.
All right. Leo Santa Cruz is going to fight Tank Davis at 130 pounds. That changes the complexion of the entire fight. I mean, Gervonta Davis at 135, he would be a decided favorite. Now it's going to be Gervonta Davis versus the scale. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I can see. I mean, would I be shocked if Tank Davis, a couple of weeks before the fight, he's probably 140 pounds and says, you know what, I'm not going to kill myself. I'll give up the belt and whatever couple of dollars and the fight goes through. You know, I 130 pounds, I don't know how much longer Tank could hold that, you know, and you've called it before, you know, he has a real big puffy face. meaning that he's not really putting in the work to lose the weight properly. He's doing it crash dieting and in the sauna. And maybe that makes the fight a little bit more competitive than when I first saw it signed. You know, because just talent and power, I think Tank Davis runs through him. You know, but if he's fighting the scale, I think Leo's got a chance to maybe steal something or at least be competitive.
Baltimore's Davis, 23 and zip, 22 wax. Of course, the current WB 135-pound title holder. Cruz, Leo Santa Cruz, 37-1-1, 19 KOs. Both these guys are Al Haymon's guys. And, you know, I still say it's a dangerous fight. I mean, there's nobody I know, except for the 130-pound factor, that thinks this is a good fight for Leo Santa Cruz. Nobody.
No, neither do I. I mean, just it's, you know, as has been said before, boxing, there's levels to this. And Tank Davis inside the ring is a special type of fighter. Outside the ring, he's probably his biggest enemy. And Leo Santa Cruz is the opposite. He's a guy that you've never heard anything other than family and boxing. Family and boxing. And you know, it's...
That's boring.
He has made... Right. He's boring, but he gets the job done. You know, he throws a lot of punches. I remember, your good buddy, the legendary Don Chargan, called him one of the best body punchers in sport at one point, and he compared him to Ruben Olivares, that type of workman-like fighter. You know, but at the end of the day, I think Tank Davis is just a special talent, and he probably will smoke Leo Santa Cruz.
You know, and the Mexicans are going to get mad, Ben, but I never thought much of Ruben Olivares at all. I'm sorry, I just never did. Ouch. I thought he was a catcher. And another guy, and he's getting a lot of attention lately, and I think it's great that he's out in the public eye, because when I tried to interview him about 15 years ago, he told me he went to bed at 7:30 at night. I said, why? Do you got to get up to go to work in the morning? He said, no, I just go to bed at 7:30. I'm talking about Danny Little Red Lopez. Now, I'm not taking away from their accomplishments. I'm just saying, just two of those guys I look at, like Juan Koji, Loretto Garza. I look at them and I scratch my head and say, how the hell did they get where they got? They didn't have that talent.
Sometimes it's just work ethic and being at the right place at the right time. You know, like we spoke about Paulie. Paulie, a lot of guys in New York in that era had a lot more talent than him, but he got the most out of his talent, you know, brittle hands. And he sometimes just outwork people, and you're at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, but it didn't help being Italian coming from Brooklyn either. I mean, but that being the point, he never became a major draw.
No, but he was against two of the biggest names of the era. I mean, Miguel Cotto and Ricky Hatton. You know, and he made some good paydays, you know, Danny Garcia, late in his career, Danny Garcia, Adrian Broner, who else, Amir Khan, Amir Khan in his prime. Amir Khan was smacking fire out of Paulie's, hair that night, you know, but Paulie, he fought the best of that era, you know, of that era, and he made some really good paydays. And he turned himself into maybe the best color commentator in the sport. And now it's, you know, let's see who's going to touch him after this.
Good point. Now, Amir Khan, do you spell that A-M-I-R-K-H-A-N or A-M-E-R-E-C-O-N? Which one is it in 2020?
In 2020, it's C-A-N. Can I get another big payday? You know, Amir at one point was a very talented dude. Just, you know, his chin, which is a big part, which is a big ingredient to being a great fighter, is being able to, have resistance in punches. But Amir Khan was a really good fighter. I mean, excellent amateur, as we know, sick hand speed, but, you know, he, probably didn't, meet the expectations as a pro, as we probably thought. Maybe it reminds me of like Mark Breland a little bit.
Ooh. I remember in 84, speaking of, we were talking about Colorado Springs a little earlier. Breland was in the ring sparring, and I'm begging people to give me, can I get some rounds with Mark? No. But he was so much bigger than me and taller and had that range and this kind of stuff. But I just felt I could get under that jab, and that, anyway, it never happened. Earl Spence and Danny Garcia talking about a pay-per-view clash. Looks like these guys are going to hook it up. Should I be excited about this, about spending my pay-per-view money on these two guys?
Considering the climate that, you know, we're clamoring for competitive fights, I mean,
yes.
I say yes. It's the unexpected. What are we going to see of Errol Spence? What is left of Errol Spence? Is Errol Spence still a great talent? Is he still the one or two best 147-pound fighters in the world? And Danny's a good test. You know, Danny, they're both under the PBC banner.
Listen, here's what's up. I'm hoping that maybe Danny Garcia can't make it because I've got Scott Cuddy training in the other room on Marlboros. Okay? I've got him training him on Marlboros because I think he's got a shot against Errol Spence. Anybody's got a shot against Errol Spence. I think the Danny Garcia fight's a smart move for Spence. Garcia's not a big puncher and he doesn't throw 1,000 punches either. I mean, he's so selective in the punches he throws. That's what sort of makes Danny, and that's why I think that Danny won't be considered ever a superstar, because he never really, when he stepped up to the line, he never stepped over it in order to try to attain greatness. In other words, I was beating guys, but I wanted to beat guys in decisive manners. You know what I'm saying? So I would gamble and go for it.
I think you're spot on. Something happened to Danny Garcia after the Lucas Matisse fight that he went in as an underdog. I mean, Matisse at the time was starching dudes.
Monster.
And a lot of people picked him. Yeah, a lot of, and he took it to Matisse, and beat him soundly, dropped him, you know, and after that, I don't know. Danny just became maybe a businessman. I know he lives comfortably in, the suburbs of Philadelphia, and maybe that hunger was quenched, that thirst was quenched, you know.
Best thing about Danny Garcia is his daddy's mouth.
Yes, Angel, one of the best hype men of all time. Him and Stoney. Imagine a fight with those two guys in opposite corners. Huh?
I know Cutman's going to get that Stoney tape ready as we roll out of the commercial break. But yes, Norman Stone. Oh man, you know I was doing the broadcast when he went berserk. I was doing the broadcast. Larry was doing the domestic feed. I was doing the international feed for Don King Productions with the Colonel Bob Sheridan. And I was just like, how can I put it? You know. It's just one of those moments in time where you look back and you say to yourself, I was there. This wasn't cool. You know, boxing is what it is. Right now, though, UFC seems to be outdoing boxing as far as the events are concerned. They're making money. They're putting events on in Dubai. They're putting events on tonight in Vegas. I hate to give Dana White credit, but he deserves some, huh?
Yeah. You know, now, you know what? Like I said last week, boxing has kind of dropped the ball. They had the spotlight for it, you know, to be the only show in town. Maybe see at least one elite fighter against another, but, you know, it just didn't happen. And credit to UFC. I mean, they've put out their biggest stars. Usman has fought during this quarantine against the BMF, Masvidal. Credit to Dana. Now, are those guys seeing the purses as they should be, in your opinion? Pete? Hello? Hey.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I hit a wrong button there. How can I say? We'll play the Norman Stone tape next week. But so Socrates, is there fights on TV tonight?
Showtime, minus, the Magic Man, but their main event was scrapped. One of the fighters, contacting COVID.
So is the insecure, most insecure man in the world, Al Bernstein, back? Is he going to be on the broadcast?
I believe so, yes. I think he's going to be joined by Abner Mares.
Yeah, I wish him the best as far as his health concerned, but he's still a dweeb. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It just is. I told you about that time when he called the promoter and said, hey, man, I smell marijuana come from Pedro's room. I kid you not.
Oh, so he's a rat.
Oh, yeah, he's a rat. Because we were in a bar and I walked, there were three chicks in the bar and they were interested in me. I went to my room and left Al with them and Al couldn't do anything. That's basically what it boiled down to. Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
He's done it! We have a new heavyweight champion in the world!
Started it off, right there, rocked him. Sent to go.
Fight!
Domi and Guida.
Amazing that Frankie Edgar was able to recover from
that at all.
And he's got Maynard.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let these guys blow a little bit. This is East Bay Soul. My brother Greg Adams, of course, Westmore High School, baby. They offered him the Joliet School of Music there in New York City. He said, no, I'm joining Tower of Power at 17. Of course, the rest is history. East Bay Soul. They've got two albums out. Check them out. EastBaySoul.com. The Tower of Power sound. He was the man that put the horns together the first time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, the UFC rock and rolling last week, coming to us from Dubai. And going to say, the main event went five rounds. Robert Whittaker, the former champion, of course, the guy from Australia, defeated Darren Till. Unanimous nod across the board, 48-47, 48-40. In other words, three rounds of two as far as all three judges were concerned. Mauricio Shogun Rua, I can't believe this little guy's fighting. He had a fight one time where I had to turn my face away from the octagon. I was live, I believe, in San Jose, California. And I had to turn my face away. He was taking such a horrific beating. And that was like 10 years ago. And he's still fighting. But he beat one of the Nog brothers, Antonio Ruggiero, with a split decision, 29-28, meaning 2-1 as far as the three rounds were concerned. As far as the judges, two rounds went one way, and then two rounds went twice the other way. That's how you win a split decision, 2 out of 3. Fabrice Verdun, the former world heavyweight champion, beat Alexander Gustafsson, the former light heavyweight challenger, moving up to heavyweight, a guy from Oslo, Norway, or Sweden, Gustafsson making his heavyweight debut, not a successful one. It lasted about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, an armbar in the very first round. Carlos Barza beat Marina Rodriguez, split decision. What can I say? I didn't think too much of the fight. As far as the rest of the card was concerned, this guy by the name of Kazmat Chimiov is supposedly a bad dude, but they have no bio on him here as far as the Wikipedia page of UFC is concerned, and he defeated Rias McGee with a TKO 3 minutes and 9 seconds in the first round. Outside of that, not a whole lot of excitement on the rest of that card. Of course, that was their last card, and what did they do? 1, 2, 3, 4 from Dubai. Of course, now they're back in Las Vegas, Nevada tonight from the UFC Apex Center, of course, in Sin City, Las Vegas. The main event, not a bunch of no names. I mean, because that's basically what it boils down to. But they're giving you product, something boxing's not doing. Boxing's failing, man. They're giving us product, but, you know, you're giving 101 fights and stuff like that. I don't want to go into how many 101 fights there have been in the last couple of weeks on TV as far as boxing was concerned. I mean, guys that are world champions taking on 101 underdogs, that's unheard of. Even in the world of tune-ups, come on, 101? Please. Buster Douglas is only 37-1. Anyway, Derek Brunson's in the main event tonight against Edmund Shabazzan. Of course, that's going to be a middleweight main event, five-minute rounds. And the co-feature women's flyweight bout, 125 pounds, Joanne Calderwood taking on Jennifer Maya. As far as the rest of the card's concerned, I don't see too many names on there. Like I said, this will be on ESPN+. So if you got the app, it's probably the best deal as far as the apps are concerned right now. $5, I think, is what I pay for it, and I get to watch boxing, ESPN boxing, and, of course, the UFC as well, most of their events. As far as the upcoming UFC's schedule is concerned, of course, the 15th, the UFC Heavyweight Championship going down the third time, the trilogy. God, do I want to see it again? It shouldn't have happened the second. It shouldn't be going on a third time. I mean, it shouldn't have. I mean, Stipe Miocic, I thought, dominated Cormier in that second fight. I mean, what's the big deal? Why they want to go again? I guess because Cormier has literally only lost that one fight outside of the fact he got whooped on by John Jones once. Twice, but once was turned back, of course. But straight up, I got to tell you, Miocic, Cormier, you might have to give me some pay-per-view Viagra to spend $60 or $80 on that one. As far as the rest of the schedule, sir, guess who's coming back? Khabib, October 24th. Pretty scary, man. Of course, anytime this guy fights, it's an event because he's never lost. And I don't think he's ever lost a round in the gym. That's the rumor. That's the rumor. He's never lost a round in the gym. If you've never lost a round in the gym, even I lost rounds in the gym. Wink, wink. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. People lose rounds in the gym. Ali lost, but not according to my sources. Khabib has never, ever lost a round. This is a guy who used to wrestle lions. Remember, there's the picture of him wrestling a lion or a tiger or something like that, as far as on YouTube's concerned. And then evidently he went back like 10 years or 15 years later and saw the same bear. Oh, it was a bear. He was wrestling a bear. And he went back and he saw the same bear like 10 years later and shook paws with the bear or something like that. But the bottom line is, I kid you not, Khabib has wrestled bears. But whether you want to say he's 24-0, 29-0, 35-0, 40-0, whatever it is, he's never lost. And Justin Gaethje's a nice kid. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Good record. I mean, you know, 24 fights, 22-2. He's lost twice by knockout, so his chin's not going to be all that good. But with Khabib, it's not only the punching power. I mean, he hits harder than anybody at 155 because he doesn't weigh 155 when he fights. That's part of the scam. I kid you not. The guy weighs in at 155, and then, excuse me, they fight 24 to 36 hours later, and he's weighing what? 175? Do you think that's fair? Especially when these guys are laying on top of you. Know? In other words, you know, if it was just boxing, how can I put this? When I box a guy that's bigger than me, I'm 140 pounds, 130, junior welterweight. When I box a guy that's bigger than me, I can feel it. Now, whether I'm better than him or whether I can move better than him or that has nothing to do with it. You can feel the body mass, the fact that this guy is bigger than you. You can just feel it, okay? And you don't have to see it. You can feel it. So when you look at body mass and the fact that Khabib's weighing 175 pounds when he gets into the cage against these guys that are, you know, probably weighing about 155, 160, 162, somewhere around there. So, you know, I mean, you don't need to put on 1,000 pounds after a weigh-in. If you put on 1,000 pounds after a weigh-in, with the exception of Khabib and a couple other guys, it's a detriment. But Khabib makes it work for him. And then not only does he get on top of people, but he's beating their butt as you're getting on top of him. You got this guy. In other words, you're fighting a 155-pounder, but he's weighing 175 pounds. That's wrong. They should weigh these guys before they get in the octagon or before they get in the ring. That's just the way it is. They did that in the amateurs. They used to weigh us like an hour and a half before. They used to make us starve for these smoker fights. We'd have these fights like at the Oakland Auditorium or at Miguel's restaurant over there in Hayward or Sentinel Hall, somewhere like that. And they would make us, they make us starve all day to weigh in at 5:30 because, you know, they didn't want to send an official earlier in the day to weigh us in, right? So we had to weigh in at 5:30 for a 6:30, 7 o'clock fight. That wasn't cool, especially when they made you cut weight in order to do it. But now you've got guys gaining 15 or 20 pounds and they're not even, it's not even a blink of an eye. No, people don't even think twice about it. I mean, boxing guys are gaining weight all the time. It isn't a new thing, but it needs to be neutralized right now because at one point in time, somebody's going to get smoked and smoked bad because of the fact there's a size disadvantage. So Khabib and Justin Gaethje, am I excited about that? Poor Justin Gaethje. Nah, you know, Justin's going to make some money. I hope he gets a big fat payday out of this one because anybody that fights Khabib, you know, you're not going to win. It's just not going to be. That's how unbeatable Khabib is. Seriously, unbeatable as far as the world of mixed martial arts is concerned. As far as the rest of the UFC is concerned, I'm not all that excited. So when I say 1, 2, 3, 4, they've got like 12 fights scheduled for the rest of the year through October 24th, 2020. You can check it out on their Wikipedia page. It's pretty updated. They got a pretty good Wikipedia page as far as the UFC is concerned, so you can figure out what's happening. Now, back to boxing. Of course, boxing rocking and rolling. I think boxing's, if they were smart right now, this would be the perfect time to be putting on these events. I mean, you know, if you're going to do like bum fights, put on a guy that we really want to see, like Ryan Garcia. Let's be honest. The kid down there from Victorville, California. What is he, 21-0, 22-0? Of course, he wants to fight all these guys at 135. Gervonta Davis, he wanted to fight Davis. Now Davis is going to fight Mr. Leo Santa Cruz. And that's really not an easy fight because of the weight, 130 pounds. Now, back to boxing one more time. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, what do his kids think about his comeback? Well, they're not all that impressed with it. They think he's in great shape, but the bottom line is, you know, he's 52, 54 years old. Things happen when you get hit at that age. That's why it's so important to strike first when you're an old man. Like if you get into a tiff into a restaurant and some guy wants to, you know, bully you, this and that, you got to get off first and you got to get off quick and you got to get off decisively and just put it down to that one shot. Nobody needs to be street and fight with anybody, okay? Mike Tyson can't afford a street fight with Roy Jones. He can't afford it to go. He just can't afford for this to go three or four rounds. I don't think he can. I think in order to make this invincible mark that he wants to make, I think that's what he wants. He wants to come back and make one invisible mark. And since the fight is an exhibition, there won't be any judges involved. What does that mean? Just what I said. It's a boxing exhibition. You know, wrestling matches, those are exhibitions. So this is an exhibition that will be sanctioned by the California State Athletic Commission as an exhibition, meaning no real fights, no judges. So what's going to happen? Roy Jones is probably going to get knocked out. You know, Roy doesn't take punches too well. We all know that. Roy's got that soft chin. Perfect foil for Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, the comeback beast, knocking out those guys like Trevor Burbick. I remember I was in line to watch him fight Trevor Burbick for the World Heavyweight Championship. I was in line. Stupid me. I played around. I thought I would slick. I went to town. I scalped some tickets that I had earlier because I made some big money on them, big money on these Tyson tickets. So I said to myself, well, you know, I'll get another ticket before the fight starts, right? Well, there were no more tickets. I finally got a ticket about 5 minutes before the bell rang, and I'm standing in line to go into the Las Vegas Hilton, and Mike Tyson knocks out Trevor Burbick. All these people are running outside the arena. There I am standing in line with my ticket. Yeah, not a smart move, Pedro, no doubt about that. But Mike Tyson back, of course, the fight will be in L.A., won't be in front of an audience. Of course, everything's not going to be in front of an audience for a long time. And, you know, I saw a baseball game the other day where they had all these fake fans or paper fans standing behind the home plate. I thought that was a little fake. That was a little bit too much. A little bit too much. I mean, we know there's not people there. You don't need to put fake people up there. Anthony Joshua, the world heavyweight champion in the minds of the people in the UK, at least the people that don't believe in Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury being the world linear champion, undefeated, of course, Joshua with that one loss to Auntie Louise. I'm talking about Andy Ruiz. And now Andy Ruiz, of course, asking for praise, said he's joined the Canelo camp. He's going to be a proud Mexican warrior. Man, what about this? I mean, didn't I just look at some pictures of you, like, snorting cocaine before the Joshua fight? I mean, actually, there was a video of you and some white powder on the table in front of you. Remember that? So, I mean, the implication was, blood, I'm snorting cocaine. I'm Andy Garza. I'm Andy Ruiz. I'm the champion of the world. I'm snorting cocaine. I'm going to fight in a month and a half. So what? Yeah, that's the way you took it. And then you went to camp 317 pounds. So when you came in at 283 pounds, it was no shock. It was no surprise. The only problem was I couldn't get down a bet on Joshua fast enough. And then Joshua, of course, being the soft chin guy that he is, he brought that chin to Auntie Ruiz the last time. That's the difference in the second fight. He never brought him the chin. He never put the chin in the danger zone. As far as future fights are concerned, of course, Tyson Fury is not that big of a puncher, but he punches directly and he punches hard. Okay, as far as he and Joshua is concerned, not going to draw the 90,000 people because you're not going to be able to put 90,000 people in an arena. So how are they going to divvy up the money? It's going to be about the pay-per-view split. It's going to be all about the pay-per-view split. That's how fights are going to be judged from now on as far as paydays are concerned. And maybe, you know, guys should get a guarantee, get themselves a guarantee, and a cut of the pay-per-view. I think that's what Jorge Masvidal finally did with that six-day deal we did with the UFC. Of course, Dana White was in trouble. He didn't have an opponent. Masvidal came in at the last minute, lost 23 pounds in 6 days, and then went five rounds with Usman. Ooh, Lord. I mean, that was... Yikes, that was, I didn't think it was going to happen. I really didn't think it was. I thought something was going to happen along the way and the fight would never ever take place. But there you go, Jorge Masvidal, not only putting up a credible fight, but going five-minute rounds after flying into Dubai at the last minute and losing 23 pounds, I guess on the plane as well, in the last 5 or 6 days. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
The way that you talk really knocks me out, girl. The clothes that you wear, the style of your hair.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Later today on The Zone, Sam Edekin and Ted Cheeseman hooking it up at Super Wealthy against 154 pounds. August 1st, of course, Showtime, Stephen Fulton versus Angelo Lea for the WBO 122-pound title given up by Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez. Why he gave up that title and went to 126 when there was business at 122 sort of baffles me. Of course, coming up on the 7th, the Zone's coming back. And if you've got the Zone and you've been paying for this each month and not getting any live fights, maybe they should give you some type of refund. At least I'm expecting one. Anyway, Chris Smith is going to take on Nathan Thorley. That's a cruiserweight battle. The 11th. The ESPN Plus, Joan O'Carroll taking on Maxie Hughes, of course. The 14th coming back. Good fight cards on Telemundo, and I never understood why Telemundo didn't run that second audio program, SAP, in English. They could lure so many more people in. I mean, I suggested this to them like 25, 30 years ago, and they said to me, no, no, no. I kept saying to myself, this is the perfect gig for me. They wouldn't give it to me. Anyway, Telemundo, Ricardo, Hindu, Espinosa taking on Brando Valdez, a super bantamweight bout on the 14th. Of course, the Zone coming back on the 14th as well. ESPN coming back on the 15th with Carl Frampton versus Vaham Ferdinand. And speaking of a guy that's a rough, rough customer, I'm talking about the former bantamweight, the guy that knocked out Chocolito. Did he knock out Chocolito like once or twice? Anyway, bad, bad dude, no doubt about that. I mean, we're talking about the guy from Thailand. I mean, he's just a monster. He's got 1,000 different names. We'll call him Wesico Wangat, but he's called Sasakal as well. He's Sasakal, Boy, Jim. He's got all kinds of different nicknames. Bottom line is, he was a winner last night, beating an old man up over there in the People's Republic. I take that back, in China, in Thailand. So this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, you're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We come back with a Sunday edition, Sunday 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant will be in the house. We'll have some boxing news, some MMA news. I'll dig up some other interviews as well. Straight up, tomorrow, Sunday, the two-hour edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes to you on Twitch.tv, Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and of course, SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 211. So until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, most importantly, oh God, keep your butt off the canvas of life. Thank you so much for listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.